11.6, the paralegal as advocate. In legal terms, advocacy is usually thought of as a part of the role of an attorney. The attorney argues for or advocates on behalf of his or her client. However, today, advocacy is not simply argument on behalf of a client. It is an attempt to convince someone to do something, even when that person may not have any motivation to do so. This can be in court in front of a judge, or it can be at a hospital trying to convince a doctor to release patient documents. In many cases, the paralegal becomes an extension of the attorney during the litigation process by obtaining information relevant to the representation. When a consumer talks a store clerk into taking an item back without a receipt, he is being an advocate. When a woman talks her way out of a traffic ticket, she is being an advocate. When a paralegal convinces a hospital records clerk to let him view the unsanitized notes in a patient's file, he is being an advocate for his client. The difference between a good paralegal and a great paralegal is very often a matter of advocacy. When paralegals understand their advocacy roles, their drive, focus, and persistence of representation improve. Furthermore, developing good advocacy skills is often a matter of attitude. Attitude. You may like your client. You may thoroughly dislike your client. You may think he is being abused. You may think he is being abusive. When you leave that office to interview a witness, visit the law library, or perform any other task on behalf of your client, you must leave your feelings about the client behind. You are not only representing your client, but also his right to effective representation and a fair trial. Your attitude needs to be, "No one will stand in the way of information to which my client has a legal right." In fact, a paralegal should be self-righteous about the client's rights. Attempting to keep a paralegal from obtaining information abuses the client's constitutional rights. This may sound extreme, but it is the reality. Example. At a court file clerk's office in Jefferson County, Colorado, a handwritten sign was tacked up stating that only attorneys were allowed to view files. A paralegal was asked one day if he was a lawyer and responded that he was not. The clerk advised him of the rule and refused to allow him to view the file. The paralegal politely objected, pointing out that unless otherwise ordered by the court, all files were public record. Making no progress with the clerk, the paralegal asked to speak to a supervisor. After the paralegal stated his position, the supervisor simply pointed to the sign and asked, "Can't you read that?" The paralegal, who had anticipated the problem, removed a folded copy of the statute regarding public records from his briefcase and asked, "Can't you read this statute?" After a few moments, the supervisor instructed the clerk to allow the paralegal to see the file in question. The sign was gone a week later. This is advocacy. No one should stand in the way of the client's rights. And you may have noticed another benefit. Advocacy can be fun. It can make a paralegal's job more interesting. On any given day, a paralegal may perform an act of advocacy that makes a difference for a client. Advocacy is a very individual thing. What works for one paralegal may not work for another. The opinions on the following pages should be considered discussion points. You may agree with the comments, you may disagree, but think about them. They may help you become a more effective advocate. Not everyone gets the idea of advocacy. J.W. was a legal secretary when she enrolled in the paralegal program. During the research part of the course, she asked to research an actual legal matter in which her firm was involved. The firm's client was an 18-year-old girl. She had worked between the ages of 12 and 16 in her father's store. The money she made was kept in an account for her college education. When she was 16, her parents divorced, forcing the younger woman to choose where to live. When she chose her mother, the father emptied the account and refused to give the money to his daughter. The senior partner on the case assigned one of the firm's associates to assist in representation. critical hearing date approached, and the associate was pessimistic about the client's chances. J.W. researched in several sources, but it wasn't until she searched in amateur proof of facts that she hit the jackpot. The proof stated that once a minor reaches a majority, any property or monies belonging to him or her must be provided, and that to fail to do so would constitute theft. J.W. prepared a memorandum, including case law, for the attorneys. However, when she presented the memo to the associate, he brushed it aside, saying, "This is criminal, and our case is civil. It doesn't apply." J.W. was very disappointed, but not understanding why the authority she had found couldn't be used. If nothing else, she thought it could be used as a hammer, an inducement to the father. If the money isn't returned, we may have to ask the district attorney to look into this. J.W. took a chance and presented the memo to the senior partner. He read the memo, then asked, "Where did you get this?" J.W. told him, "Proof of facts." He responded, "Proof of what?" Then he demanded that J.W. go to the law library with him and show him the books. On the way back to the office, the partner told J.W. that as soon as they got back, she was to order a full set of proof of facts, that the associate was off the case, and she was being promoted to the firm's first paralegal. The price of advocacy. Some paralegal students use their skills to help themselves. N.F., a paralegal, was involved in a child support matter. Her ex-husband had never paid a cent in child support for their 5-year-old son. The attorney she hired was very expensive, and N.F. was fairly unimpressed with his work. About a week before the definitive hearing on the matter, the associate, who was assisting on the case, met with N.F. And told her the firm had received a brief from the opposing counsel, and the cases they cited appeared to work against N.F.'s efforts to collect support at this late date. N.F. was furious. These lawyers had worked for almost a year on the case, and the best they can tell her now is it doesn't look good. This was unacceptable. Launching her own research, she discovered that the two cases the opposing counsel relied on in the brief were quoted out of context. Both cases actually worked for her. Her attorneys must not have even read the cases. N.F. prepared a memorandum, met with her lawyers, and told them what to do. At the hearing, it was with mixed emotions that N.F. heard her lawyer argue the exact points she had prepared herself, as though they were the product of his own work. The judge ruled she was owed $25,000 in back support. It was a hollow victory, however. N.F. should never have been forced to go to court, but the judge inexplicably would not grant her attorney's fees. When the attorney's bill arrived a month later, she was stunned. His fee for representation was $21,000. Seeing the big picture, literally. Construction defect paralegals often assist in site inspections. They visit the site in dispute and, along with experts from both sides, examine the alleged defects. Sometimes they simply view the structure. Sometimes they observe destructive testing, which involves an expert punching holes in walls, ceilings, and floors to determine construction techniques. M.R., a paralegal, was attending the site inspection of a home involved in litigation. The claim was that the largest room in the house, the dining area, was inadequately ventilated. The area had vaulted ceilings, and the expert for the plaintiff rambled on about the inadequacy of a design that left such a large area unvented. In the midst of the experts, attorneys, and clients, M.R. raised a simple question. Admitting she was not an expert, she asked if the area might possibly get better ventilation if a large framed picture which happened to cover a vent could be moved. The expert was dismissive, arguing that there couldn't possibly be a vent there. After scrambling around for a ladder and carefully removing the large and expensive picture, the expert was forced to declare there was indeed a vent behind the picture. The case was over, settled by a paralegal. Advocating for a paralegal. P. PA was very well liked and respected by the staff and most of the attorneys at her firm. Unfortunately, the attorney to whom she was assigned had taken a dislike to her. One day, PA did something she had never done before. She forgot to calendar a hearing date for a client, an omission that resulted in an arrest warrant being issued. The client called and was furious. PA spoke with the client because the attorney she worked for had left for the day. PA felt terrible. She was advised to prepare a motion to quash the warrant for filing the next morning. PA spent a sleepless night anticipating what the attorney would do when she found out. Naturally, the attorney was very upset. She sent PA to court with a motion, a fairly routine request, which was granted. PA didn't see the lawyer again that morning. After lunch, the managing partner summoned PA to his office. He closed the door and informed her that what he was about to tell her had nothing to do with her mistake. He wanted to let her know that her attorney had stormed into his office and demanded that PA be fired immediately. The managing partner was dumbfounded. He had not worked much with PA, but had always had a positive impression of her. He told the attorney he would get back to her about it after lunch. In the meantime, he started asking questions. He talked to attorneys, paralegals, secretaries, and even the receptionist. Everyone seemed to know two things. PA was a hard-working, much-liked paralegal, and her attorney was regularly abusive to her. The managing partner apologized to PA, told her that the attorney no longer worked at the firm, and informed her that she would become his paralegal at a higher rate of pay. Advocacy's reward. A paralegal may be involved in almost every aspect of the litigation process. Research, investigation, interviewing, preparing documents, setting up depositions, and many other tasks. Your work will almost certainly have an effect on the outcome of the litigation process. DR worked for a litigation law firm. One case involved a 70-year-old man whose wife was killed in a car accident by a teenager driving 70 miles per hour in a 35-mile-per-hour zone. When the case began, the only witness besides the defendant himself were the defendant's two buddies who had been riding in his car. They were not expected to be particularly helpful. During the pretrial stage, DR identified and interviewed more than 70 potential witnesses. They ranged from a minister who had been frightened to see the teenager driving on the same road to students and teachers who would testify about the dangerous driving habits of the defendant. Great witnesses for the plaintiff's case. In researching the case, DR also found an exception to the general rule that plaintiffs in wrongful death cases cannot be compensated for loss of consortium. DR discovered case law establishing that if the death occurs a significant amount of time after the accident, compensation is allowed. At the settlement conference, the attorney walked in with statements and depositions from the 70-plus witnesses, informed the opposing counsel that loss of consortium was back on the table, and said that the client would settle for nothing less than the maximum amount under the defendant's insurance policy. The two attorneys representing the defendant left the room to discuss the matter. After about 5 minutes, they returned, agreeing to settle for the full amount if the loss of consortium issue was dropped. As the attorney and DR walked out of the settlement conference, the attorney patted DR on the back, paused for a moment, and said, "This is as much your case as anyone's. I want you to call the client." That is the kind of difference a paralegal can make. With the right skills and the right attitude, it is the kind of advocacy you, as a paralegal, can be a part of. Chapter 11 Wrap-Up. What you should know. After reading this chapter, you should know the following: the purpose of a trial notebook and how to prepare one, how to prepare exhibits for trial, the fundamentals of arbitration, what it means to be an advocate. Assignments. There are no assignments for this chapter. Web stuff. For more information, articles, and links to additional resources, visit the website associated with this manual. This concludes Chapter 11, and it also concludes Volume 1 of Essential Skills for Paralegals by Daniel R. Barber and Elisa Navallo. Copyright 2011.